My guest at this time is Florida Republican Congressman Daniel Webster. He represents the Sunshine State's 10th Congressional District. We want to talk to him today about some of the biggest issues sitting before the House of Representatives, including Wednesday's votes on delaying both the employer and individual mandates as it relates to the president's health care plan. And Congressman, thanks so much for being with us.
Great to be on.
Well, this is a little bit of follow-up, obviously, to the announcement from the administration several days ago that it was going to delay the implementation of the employer mandate. There was a lot of consternation about that because, obviously, it's a duly passed law, and a lot of folks believe that anything that would be changed needs to be changed by Congress. So talk about your approach to the employer mandate as well as why the individual mandate is added to this today.
Well, I think in in looking at what the president did, I approve of the actual policy, but I don't approve of the fact that the president can do it without coming back to Congress. So we're passing a law that would give that mandate credibility, in that no one could ever challenge it. In that we pass this law, we can take it back. The other is if you're going to reduce or remove or delay one mandate, we should do it for everyone. Because if you're going to do it for one group, everything hinged on another. At least that's what we were told when the bill passed. We were told by the administration we had to have an all-inclusive, all-encompassing health policy. And every single element of that has to be in place in order for it to work. Now we're being told yesterday in the Rules Committee by the chief person that came to testify against these bills from the minority that, oh, we don't really even need to have an employer mandate. It's not all that important. Never was important. Well, that certainly goes against what's been said, and certainly is a shot at the individual person who now is a tax. The Supreme Court has called both of these mandates taxes, and that's how they were able to say that the federal government had the ability to make an individual person buy something that they may or may not want by calling it a tax. So you can either buy it and pay for the product, or if you don't, you get taxed. Well, to circumvent that and say, yes, that's true, but we're not going to tax one group, but we're going to tax another group, I think is wrong. If you're going to get rid of the mandate, then get rid of it for both the business world and for the individual purchaser.
A couple of follow-ups here, Congressman. First of all, most Republicans, I think, agree with Max Baucus that they see the president's health care plan, especially as it's being implemented here, as a train wreck. But in terms of how things will be even worse if the employer mandate is put on hold but the individual mandate is not, without getting too far into the minutiae of the policy and the implementation here, how will things be even worse if the employer mandate gets delayed but not the individual mandate?
Well, I just have one comment about that, this is the fact. The president even believes now it's a train wreck, and that's why he's willing to circumvent one major portion of this bill to say, we're not ready. Why? Because he's agreeing with what the Republicans said all along. The entire bill needs to be repealed. It is a train wreck.
His veto threat says that delaying the individual mandate would be harmful to young adults trying to stay on their parents' health insurance policies, to folks with pre-existing conditions and so forth. Some of those things that were obviously parts of the plan that he really used to sell it to the American people. What do you make of his argument and the veto threat?
Well, that's bogus. Because this does not repeal the fact that you can stay on your parents' policy until you're 26. It doesn't repeal the pre-existing condition part of that bill. It just repeals the mandate. That's all. And so every part of his veto threat, the reasons he uses are bogus.
If this passes the House, which I'm sure it will, but does not make it through the Senate or gets vetoed by the president and the Congress can't override it, where does this fight go from here?
Well, I think at least we're highlighting the fact and getting the administration to admit that part of the bill was flawed. What we have said is all along that all the bill's flawed. It needs to go. And at least now half of the mandate is being delayed by the administration because they believe that the product is flawed.
Real quick exit question on the employer mandate. What have you heard from business owners in your district about whether it would happen at the beginning of next year or the year after or whenever, the impact it would have on them?
Well, for sure, when it was getting ready to happen, there was a caution about hiring anyone. Then there were those who are in other businesses, service industry especially, who were just cutting hours and have already done that. So now you have millions of people who are employed part-time because they made full-time employees really the hours needed to be part-time employees. So when they reduced it from 40 to 30, the work week, even the union said the other day in their release that even though they agreed with the president on many of his issues and supported him from a campaign standpoint, they are destroying the middle-class work week by saying, here, we believe, and they were saying, we believe in a 40-hour work week. That's what we have grown up on. That's what this country is built on. And now you're cutting it to 30. This bill needs to go.
Florida Republican Congressman Daniel Webster represents his state's 10th congressional district. I'm Greg Corumbus reporting for Radio America.